Is it?
Gabe?
Yeah. Why are you typing it out like you're writing an agenda?
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Nah, I'm just looking for the aerial jewels.
Welcome back, everyone, to your favourite podcast, London Ears, at London Ears on Twitter. Second zero is a... No.
No.
Cut. We might start again.
Second O.
No, you've got to stick with this now. No, you've got to stick with it.
Oh,
second O is a zero. And just because of that plug last week, we got two extra followers.
Wow.
Really nice. Yeah, no.
Thank you very much, followers. Thank
you. Nothing to do with that plug. It was me and my work online. I'm not having it. I'm growing your podcast, you amateurs.
By two members.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. And for those Tom fans out there, this might be Tom's last podcast.
So sorry, Mum.
If you could maybe do, if you could maybe do some sad music going over this, that'd be nice. I think.
Or happy music. Up to you.
Whichever one.
Unnecessary. Luke.
Sorry.
But have you enjoyed your time here, Tom?
It's been all right.
That doesn't sound very enthusiastic,
does
it?
it's been a pleasure.
Excellent. That's better. Thank you. Right. Should we get started with the fixtures then? I think Arsenal's the obvious one to go with first. Obviously, dropping points, but also a couple of controversial decisions in there as
well. Do you want to do the Brentford game first or the Brighton game?
Well, if you just briefly go over the Brentford game and then we can move on to the Brighton one.
Because that one was a little bit happy. It's the only joy we're going to have on this podcast.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
Brentford game was a bit like some of the games we've had this season, but with a better outcome. We was all over them the first 10 minutes. They couldn't get out of their half, and then straight up the other end and scored. First shot, 1-0 down. Bang. Just the same as the Fulham game. And you're thinking, oh, fucking hell, this is going to be again, isn't it? Now we've got a scrap to get anything out of it. Ryan made an error, then made an amazing save after his own error. And we went straight up the other end and scored from there, pretty much. First half was quite even. And then, they came out the second half. Straight out of the traps, two goals within, 10 minutes or so. And that killed the game and put it to bed. And they were pretty poor after that, Brentford. They didn't really offer much threat and anything. We just saw the game out. So that was a pleasant performance, pleasing performance, considering their home record. And everyone was a little bit sort of worried it could be a bit of a banana skin, but job done on that one. The only thing I would say is, I don't like Brentford anymore than their fans.
Why
fuck
not?
Off. Honestly. Every time we made a tackle, they were fucking whinging about everything.
And then, Arsenal.
Honestly, whinging about absolutely. And even when it weren't even a foul. Like, if it's a foul, you can moan. We've got good tackles and they're moaning like, the referee's a wanker in the black and all that shit. And you're like, fuck, are you watching the same game? And literally elbowed Jesus in the face, cut his lip open, and they were calling him a cheat. It's like he's bleeding. You elbowed him. Cunt. So, do you know what? I fucking hope they go down. I hope they get relegated. They belong now in the same box as Hull City and Stoke City and shit clubs like that when they come up and just whinge and moan and fuck around. I hope they can piss off fucking.
I mean, they gave you some tactics, didn't they, Stoke?
Some what? Stoke?
Some tactics, yeah.
Fucking. Piss off, Luke.
I wish we'd got a Brentford fan on for a special guest appearance in this episode.
I know one Brentford fan, right? And he's an older fella and he's a nice bloke.
He's going to appreciate those comments.
I said to him, I hope they go down. They're all cunts. And my dad went, oh, you can't say that about our friend. I was like, no, fuck them. Get out. Yeah. I'm sick of them.
4 minutes into the podcast, that's two cunts.
Yeah, I think it was three actually.
Honestly, I was really annoyed at that game. But even though it was an easy game, and we won, I was just like, "You've got shit fans, and you need to just fuck off."
So, before you move on from Brentford, as I know you love speaking about at the moment, but I've seen quite a lot of noise actually. Obviously, Mbeumo scored the goal against Hughes, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think I see quite a lot of noise on Twitter about him potentially being linked with you, but then I don't know whether there's any substance there to that, because I know, what's his name? Thomas Frank. Yeah, apparently he said basically good luck to anyone trying to buy him. But
yeah, well,
how would you feel about that?
I'd take him. I mean, at the minute, the output that he's giving Brentford in their team with their setup, I think he would be a good addition. But I just don't know. I mean, we can afford him, but I think they would want ridiculous money for him. And I think they, transfer-wise, I mean, we might talk about transfers a little bit more, I don't know, but I think anyone that Arsenal want to buy in an attacking role is going to cost an absolute fortune.
Yeah.
Unless they get some little gem from somewhere that no one knows about, which I can't see happening. I just think it's going to, you know, they're going to want 60, 70 million from Bramo.
Oh, easily. More than that.
And the thing is, if he plays in Saka's position, which he was in that game, I think, on the right wing, if he comes in, he's not going to play there once Saka's fit. So ideally, you're thinking, well, you've got to get someone in, he can play there temporarily and then maybe switch to the left, because the output on our team from that side, Trossard and Martinelli, is not there, not where it was last season, sure. And so that's one area they should look to improve anyway, I think. But yeah, I'd take him, but I think he would cost an absolute fortune. I'm not sure that Brentford would sell him, to be honest.
Yeah.
Not in January anyway. They don't need to, because they're not in trouble financially. They're doing all right in the league. And, you know, unless he plays up, you know, I can't see it happening, to be honest. But I would take him. Great play. Scored a great goal yesterday.
At least he's already picked up some of the dark arts that he'd need to join Arsenal as well, wouldn't he? So.
I'm on the edge already.
Should we move on to Brighton then?
If we must. Yeah, go on then.
What do you mean?
I thought he was going to ask me a question about it, but you want me to go into it? All right, listen. No. Oh, fuck, I don't want to. I don't remember much of it. I was in the pub with you getting drunk, so.
Yeah. It's good though.
Well, I'd say, yeah, Brighton's a hard place to go anyway for most teams. We had no Havertz again, who's apparently out with some sickness bug. Odegaard was on the bench, who's apparently got the same bug but could be on the bench. Martinelli was on the bench, which is probably more to do with rotation, just because there's so many games coming up in this month. No right back because obviously White's injured, Timber's suspended. So it was always going to be a tricky game. But we started quite well. We scored a good goal. Nouri scored a decent goal. It was good play down the right. I think it was Rice, Marino possibly. They put him through and he went through. He's full of confidence, you know. It was a good confident finish from him, but I don't think it was the best finish. He hit kind of straight at the keeper.
Keeper was terrible.
I think, you know, and you'd be looking at your keeper to save that. But from when Nouri's side of it, you know, it was a confident finish for a 17-year-old, you know, running in on goal. He was never partial. He was, I'm having this.
I'd moan at him though after the game. I would moan at him to not do that strike again because he should have played it across.
He should have, yeah. I think it was a tapping for whoever was next to him.
Yeah.
But it doesn't need to be worried about because it was a goal. So, but yeah, you know, he's full of confidence and it shows that. So after that, it was a bit of a weird game again. Not too many great clear-cut chances. I think Brighton had one when I think Jorginho lost it in midfield. And was it Adingra, is that his name?
Yeah.
He had one and it was a half chance, I'd say, because he was quite far out, but he just sort of shanked it anyway. And you're thinking, right, we're not playing great, but we're 1-0 up from a good bit of play in the game. And in the second half, we probably should have been 2-0 up. Where we had a free kick, and it was like, you know, set piece FC. You know, clever routine where Rice sort of curls one across the basically the top of the grass, you know, into the box. They're all onside, and it comes to Marino, and he just scuffs it. And then I think a couple of minutes after that, they got their penalty. So,
what do you think about that?
Well, at first, I thought I could see why it was given. And you think, well, he's gone for the ball, he's missed it, and he's headbutted the bloke. And it's like, it's soft still, it's soft. But you think, well, you know, if he'd tried to tackle him with his feet and he tried to get him and he missed him and he got the man, you'd say it was a penalty. So I was kind of like, but at the same time, you don't see them given for, you know, heads clashing like that. But then when I saw the replay, I was fucking annoyed. Because he gets the ball, the guy, Pedro, but Saliba gets a touch from the ball as well, and then they clash heads. And it's like, well, why has that not been looked at properly by VAR? Because I don't really blame the ref for it, because he see it, and I think the ref, which is, you know, tale as old as time, the ref was swayed by the crowd, and the player himself was on the floor writhing around like he'd been shot in the face. And I think, right, okay, so the refs give it, and you think, right, well, we'll have a look. But they literally gave the decision by VAR, you know, it's been checked and it's been agreed, and he was still sitting on the floor. They hadn't even got up yet, and you think it took about 5 seconds. You think,
it was pretty instant, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was pretty
instant. What have you looked at?
Yeah.
And when you see it, when I first saw some replays, you were like, oh, well, yes, kind of headbutted him. But then they showed two others and angles, and you're like, oh, yeah, you can see he gets the ball. So, I mean, you can argue. I mean, I don't know, Luke will probably argue, you know, Richard might argue, but to be honest, I think it's absolute bollocks, because the guy never had control of the ball. He was moving away from the goal. He had about four Arsenal players around him. He was literally going nowhere, and he headed the ball up in the air. Our player headed the ball, and then they headbutted each other. Or he got caught by a headbutt. And it's like, but it's not a headbutt. It's just a clash of heads. And you will never, ever, ever in your life see another penalty given for that.
Well, the player's not going to try and headbutt someone in the box, are they?
Well, I'll tell you what, Luke. Do you think Newcastle should have had a penalty yesterday when your geezer fucking broke?
I actually do.
Yeah, I bet you're saying that just because you want to
wind me up. No, I actually thought it was a penalty at the time, and I was surprised he didn't give it.
It wasn't a penalty. Because he never shouldered him in the face. He just ran into his shoulder. It's a coming together of two players.
I get what you're trying to say, but your one, it's you could watch that as many times as you want. Yeah, it's you mentioned about slide tackles anywhere on the park, and the player makes that challenge as a penalty or a free kick or whatever it is. Yeah, so what happens? So hear me out on this. Yeah, so let's say I'm in the middle of the field, I'm running with the ball down the line. Yeah, I've knocked the ball in front, but you're coming in for a slide challenge. Yeah, and I've knocked the ball in front, but it's touched your foot as you're coming in as a slide challenge. Mm-hmm. And it's still going the same direction, by the way, that I'm moving, and then you've taken me out. Now you tell me that's not a free kick.
Depends what day it is and what ref is, because you go to the Chelsea game against Palace, and Chelsea, I think, should have had a penalty on Neto, right? But I saw the replays on that, and it doesn't look like he touched the ball at all. But VAR looked at it and went, it's not a penalty because both of them touched the ball. So they've both touched the ball, and they've said, so it's not a penalty. Yeah, Arsenal's player has touched the ball, the same as the Brighton player, but it is a penalty.
Yeah.
So it's bullshit. It's, they just make it up as they go along. And the thing
I understand
is
it's not consistent. It's, you know?
Well, what is consistency, Mitch?
It's a myth, mate.
Exactly.
Yeah. I understand that.
But it's bullshit. But it's bullshit. The players, it's just a shit decision. It's crap. The geezer weren't hurt.
It's the correct decision.
It's not the correct decision.
It's the correct decision. As I said on WhatsApp,
you're allowed to touch people on a pitch.
No. You can't go. Look, so he's wrong with the ball. Yeah, he's gone with the ball and headed it in the direction that he's running. It doesn't matter how many players are around him. It does not matter. Yeah, there could be like a whole team around him. The thing is that he's headed the ball first in a direction, and as he's headed that ball, Saliba's already coming in.
And he gets the ball.
No, he doesn't. He only gets the ball because the player heads it first.
That's called anticipation.
No, it's not. He's already coming in for the challenge.
You can't say because of this, you didn't do it because of that.
You've seen the pictures. You've seen the pictures I sent, yeah?
I've seen it. Yeah, that's the pictures. What's the video?
The only reason why I don't like that is because you don't watch in the video. If you watch it, he's headed the ball, it's gone in direction, and it's hit the top. It's literally hit the top of his head. Yeah. That sleeper's literally coming straight in on the side of the guy's head. I'll understand.
Well, you could say because that geezer ran into his path. Because he was going for the ball, and he headed the ball after.
He missed the ball completely. The ball hit him because the player hit him.
The player headed the ball first.
Yes, the player headed the ball first. So it's a foul, mate. It's a foul. No, he didn't clash.
Let me ask you something, Luke. Right. So if that, say the goalkeeper kicks it out, and that happens in the centre of the field, and both players make contact with the ball. But is that still a foul? Because I see it all the time that both players get contact with the ball and then they obviously do the whole load of whistle for the concussion check.
Depending on what the player's done to jump up. So normally when a player jumps up, if they're both a genuine 50-50, both looking at the ball, 50-50 challenge, the ref will give it like a drop ball or whatever. Yeah. If you see a player when they come right at the back of you and they go to head the ball, the referee will sometimes give it a free kick. To the attacker. Yeah, I understand that. But this, in this instance, the player is literally headed the ball across to run in that direction. He's already headed it. Saliba's come in and then gone straight at the side of the guy's head. So it's not 50-50. He's headed it in front of him.
They're going in at the same time. You're talking like a split second. They're both going for the same ball. One geezer gets it first. He doesn't miss the ball.
No,
he doesn't get to the ball, but exactly. He hasn't made a challenge then. He's going in. It's momentum. So the other guy heads the ball, and then it hits Saliba's head.
Because the other guy got there first. Do you know what I mean? It's exactly like that. So if you're going for a slide challenge and I get there first with a ball, but you happen to be able to just clip the ball a bit, but you still come in on a hard challenge, you're telling me that's not a free kick?
Well, not even a hard challenge. But you're predicting the future. Saying, well, you've come in from a different angle and it's got to be so delusional.
How can you not see that? The player's headed the ball in the direction he's running. Saliba's then headbutted him.
The only person, apart from you, that said it was a penalty was Brighton's fucking dipshit manager.
ESPN said it was a penalty as well.
They don't know anything.
It doesn't matter. They're still saying the same thing. The McDermott, where his name is, on... Sky or the, he's the referee he's thing. He also said the same thing.
Even Ian Wright said the same thing.
Let me rephrase that. Ian Wright said it if Kulusevski got the penalty. Yeah? Because then it's consistency. He agrees that yes, it's a penalty in the end, but like there is no consistency and I agree.
Think he said that. I think he's saying one that they're one and the same and one's given and one's not. I don't think he said they're both penalties. I think he said it's been given as a penalty.
They were both penalties. They're both penalties.
I don't think you should be given penalties for that. To be honest, because you don't normally see two blokes. Just clash of heads.
Two players entitled to go for the ball.
But one person got there first, and he's headed him in the side.
But it's never given. You never see them given.
You see him given all the time in the middle of the park.
No, it's a drop ball.
Well, exactly. So just because it's not the middle of the park, it shouldn't be a free kick because it's in the penalty box.
No, you're twisting. You're twisting.
Go on, explain it. Go on, explain it.
No, because two players have gone for the same ball and they've both come into contact with the ball.
No, he hasn't headbutted. They've not both headbutted each other at the same time. He's headbutted him because he's missed the ball.
No, but sometimes you do fall into people when the ball moves. Like if two players go up for a header,
one of them might head it.
They both might head it and also headbutt each other.
Yeah.
So if it's not malicious and he's got the ball, where's the penalty?
I'm saying that he's not gone in malicious. I can't remember who did the headbutt. Zidane on someone's chest. He's not gone in that sort of headbutt. But the player, the unfortunate thing is, the player's got there first. He's headed it in front of him. It's clipped the top of Saliba's head because that's the direction of ball the player headed it in. Yeah, and Saliba missed it completely and gone straight through. It's like that challenge that Romero did. Do you remember we went over the top of the ball? Which you're telling me he got the ball, but because he went over the top of it, he slid his foot over the top and went on the guy's foot. The referee sent him off. But then another player did the same thing on a Chelsea game and the referee didn't give it.
I'm just saying the consistency. Yes, we all know consistency isn't there. But like on another day, you'd both look at that and be like, mate, that's a sending off.
It's different.
Yeah, it's not different. You're saying that because he got the ball and he didn't mean it maliciously, it should not be a penalty. But unfortunately, he missed the ball, hit the player's side of his head, knocked the player down. It's a penalty.
He missed the ball.
Okay, he's gone in for a 50-50 ball, yeah? Yeah. He's missed the initial head. The player's got there first.
Player headed it onto his head,
which means that he's missed the ball because he's gone in for a header. Correct. If you jump up to hit something,
it's called a block. It's called a block. You're putting your body in the line.
That's a great block. Yeah. Headbutting another player is a great block.
No, he didn't. He caught him after, but he didn't headbutt him. He didn't go in and nut him. I mean, he didn't charge him. He just put his head.
It was still his head.
It's a ridiculous fucking decision. And the fact of it is, it's not the first ridiculous decision we've had against us this season.
Oh, here we go.
Arsenal. I mean, to be fair, I watched that game. Yeah, you guys were shit. You're chasing for the league, right? And playing defensive football and time wasting. How boring is that being an Arsenal fan?
Fuck me. Time wasting either.
It's all gone to shit.
Okay.
Because what happened? I agree with you, Luke. We didn't play well. And I don't think we've done enough to win to say that we deserve to win it.
Yeah.
I don't think Brighton done much, to be honest. They got a goal from a penalty that's very, very contentious, right? So you could say that's one of them games that you're happy to get a 1-0 away win. You don't play well, you get a decent goal, and if you can get out of there and win, you're happy with it. And I think most Arsenal fans would have taken that.
I don't think you would.
What do you mean?
I don't think you should be happy with that.
Why should you be happy going away to Brighton and getting a 1-0 win?
Because you're going for the league, mate. You should not be.
When you win games, that's good if you want to go for the league, isn't it?
But you didn't win.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I know we didn't win. What I'm saying is, if we had won, because if they hadn't got a shit penalty,
that was a penalty.
You got 90 minutes
in the game, mate, and you guys just sat back after the first goal. You didn't attack like you would normally attack.
No, we're out of sorts, mate. I agree with you. I don't think it wasn't a good performance. It's probably, I would say, our second worst performance all season.
I didn't know you had the illnesses like us. We had a bunch of illnesses as well. I didn't know you had the illnesses.
We were missing loads of players.
That's fair play. But
we're missing loads of players. That's what I'm saying. Is there's like bits in play that all add into the mix, you know. So you've got players injured, you've got players sick, you've got loads of games all on top of each other. I mean, everyone's got it, so not everyone's playing well, you know. But if you at this time of year, as long as you get the result, if you scrape the result and you get it, then you take it and you move on. So we didn't play well. You could say, well, after they scored, we could have done more, but at the same time, we didn't have anyone on the bench. Odegaard came on, and apparently he's fucking ill anyway. So, and Wanyeri was on and got injured during the game in the first. Like, he scored, and everyone went, why has he come off? He's injured. So there's another injury. And it's like, and I agree, we didn't play great. And when it was 1-1, we didn't do enough to go and win the game. We had a couple of half chances.
That's what I'm getting at.
And I'm not disagreeing with that. But so I'm not saying, you know, we deserve to win, we should have won. But what I'm saying is, if the contentious penalty is not there, which is where Brighton got their goal, then you are getting away with a scrappy 1-0 away victory, which anyone will take at this time of year, no matter what team you are. And that's what I'm saying.
I agree. I think that's happened loads this year with Liverpool, isn't it?
Liverpool going for the title. Yeah, we're supposed to be going for the title and we're playing like that. We're not playing well because we've got so many players missing and everyone's fucked. In Liverpool today, Man United have been absolutely terrible, and they played great against Liverpool.
That was a good game. Liverpool was second best today,
I thought, against Man United. But like we said last week, Liverpool's mantra is just go on all out attack and be threatening, whereas Arsenal seems to be solid, don't let them score. And if we nick one, we nick one. And the way that game went, I don't think anyone would have moaned if we had done it that way. But because of the contentious penalty, again, I understand why the ref gave it, even then, because it is an odd scenario. It's not so, like you say, none of us have seen that penalty. No, all the commentators are all going, I've never seen that given before. Why are we giving that? Why is that a penalty? And it's always, it's just frustrating as an Arsenal fan. You say, oh, worries me, whatever, it's all against us. But guarantee you will not see any other team get a penalty like that this season, and in the same weekend,
actually, yeah, because it's Arsenal.
It's because it's obviously not. It's because it's Arsenal. It's, but that's how it feels when you're an Arsenal fan and you're watching it, and you go, "Well, there's a game with Tottenham Newcastle where something very similar has happened, and nothing's been done." And the rationale that they give you for the Arsenal decision is not applied when in a Chelsea game. The same rationale is applied, and they give it, and they go, right, that's that reason, and that one wasn't given, but our one is. And you think, well, there's two decisions, why is ours given? And it's like, and you sort of think to yourself, why is it always us? And that's all it is. It's not a, I know it's not a conspiracy, but that's how it makes you feel. It's just fucking frustrating.
Yeah, I can't remember which way around it was, but I can't remember what they said. I think the Tottenham game, I think it was either the referee made the on-field decision and it didn't go to VAR, or it went to VAR and they said nothing, or it was your game, the referee made the on-field decision but didn't go to VAR. I can't remember which way round it was.
Well, apparently it went to VAR, but they literally checked it in about 5 seconds.
Yeah, it was so quick.
They're not overturning the refs this season.
But again, that's all well and good. I completely agree with that. But on, I mean, I suppose you could call it contentious because three of us agree there's not a penalty and Luke thinks it is a penalty. So in that respect,
Tottenham bias,
that is contentious.
Oh, I tell you we're biased. I'm going from a realistic thing that the players are buying, but we won't go there again.
I feel like we need to move on from the penalty decision because I don't think we'll ever agree on that. But
also, I just want to add to it, right? That Pedro, he shouldn't have even been on the fucking pitch because he should have been banned for trying to elbow a geezer in the fucking head last week. Did you see that?
Yeah,
I did. Against Brentford. He got, and that got looked at by VAR. And how you can, he didn't touch him. How can you say that is not violent conduct when you literally look around at a bloke and swing an elbow at him looking? And the Brentford player weren't even looking. He didn't know it was coming. If he got hit with that, he'd have been in hospital. And they said, well, he didn't touch him. Well, if he went in windmilling with his fist and didn't touch him, you'd say, well, that's violent conduct. So it's absolute bullshit. The geezer shouldn't have even been playing. And he's a fucking diving cheat.
But don't worry, but if he clipped him with the elbow, it would have been fine, though, right?
Probably, yeah. No, that's what it would. Well, fucking Joel Linton elbowed your player yesterday and got away with it. Newcastle the worst. They elbowed everyone. They elbowed Jorginho last year and got away with it.
Well,
you know.
Well, thanks.
The refs are shit. The refs are just shit, mate.
And thanks for ruining our sponsor this week, which is the USA.
yes, the whole country.
The whole country is sponsoring the podcast. But anything else to mention on Arsenal, Tom, or any questions, Luke or Dave? Dave Mitchell.
Hey, she said it.
Just leave it as it was a penny, mate, and then move on.
Not from our side. It's a contentious decision, but we could have. We had more than enough time to step the game up and we didn't. So it's just a frustrating thing all round. The only saving grace is the fact that Liverpool didn't win today. So whereas we were, and I looked back the other day, we've got exactly the same amount of points from the same amount of games as this time last year. So
you're not improving.
It wasn't enough. No, this is it. It wasn't enough last year. But again, we were 5 points. It was the same team as well. We were 5 points behind Liverpool last year, so there's always hope. But I'm not that hopeful because I don't think we're playing anywhere near the level we did last season, and we're relying on other teams slipping up without us slipping up, and just don't look like we're not going to slip up. You know, we need to buy some attackers in January, otherwise I think it's just going to drift away.
So, talking to people slipping up, Luke. So obviously you played Newcastle.
Yep.
How did that go for you?
It was a tough game to watch. Just our performance was all right, to be fair. It was just as Tom mentioned, is that we had, I think, five or six players as well as injuries that were ill. They picked up some sort of weird bug that's going around. So a couple of players had to play with the bug. They come off at half time, while Radu come off at half time. We had some youngsters in there, a youngster goalkeeper in there as well, who was fucking phenomenal. At Austin, he was quality. Yes, it's a loss. From a points perspective, table perspective.
Oh, please say it.
Yeah.
It's a good loss.
I'm not
Spurs mentality.
I'm not saying
we lost, but it was a good game.
No, I'm not saying it's a good loss, but it's a justified loss. You know, it's a joke. We had a cheap cheap goal conceded from a handball that went on, but they classed that as accidental, which then led on to like an assist for them to go and score, which, okay, it happened, but it seems always been Newcastle. I'm going to say dark arts here, but I remember us giving them a penalty because a ball come down and hit Eric Dyer's hand that he couldn't, because it was in an unnatural position, which was bullshit because he wasn't even looking. It was like behind him. But, you know, and then they changed the law after that. Surprise, surprise.
What do you guys think about that decision? Was it Newcastle's first goal, wasn't it, Luke?
Where yeah, it was first goal.
Came
yeah.
out, his hand was... I'm not sure that was a natural position, really.
It was a quite far away from... Not too far away from his, but it was like in between, wasn't it? Like too far out and close, well, but... like
I thought it hit his... Oh, I need to see it again. I'm thinking there's something else. I didn't think it hit his arm.
It was his hand.
I personally think it was a pretty bad decision. I think... even with my Arsenal hat on, I hate Tottenham and I wish them ill all time. But if that was against us, I'd be pretty pissed off because, all right, he didn't mean to handball it in his hands by his side, but he did stop the ball from going where they wanted it to go. He basically intercepted the ball with his hand and they gained an advantage where they scored.
So they can hide behind the rock.
Is his hand not in a natural position though?
Well, that's what they were saying.
I don't think that because it's natural, you know, if you're like on the goal line, right, and your hand's by your side and it hits your hand and deflects away, are you not going to say, well, he stopped a goal scoring opportunity on the line with his hand? Well, his hand's in a natural position.
I just think when it's that close and the pace is that fast and his hand isn't completely out of where it should be. And
that's what I said, it wasn't like completely
I think you've just got to take that as, yeah, that's unlucky, that's unfortunate.
I took it out in the end.
It's one of them with the rule is shit. You know, it's the rule that's crap. So they're basically saying, well, that's the law and we're interpreting the law correctly. That law, I think, in this case is stupid because, say, they have gained an advantage from someone handballing it.
Yeah.
And all right, I say, if the weird thing is, if Joe Linton had done that and gone on himself and scored, it would have been disallowed.
What's the alternative? If the ball hits the ref, they do a drop ball.
Drop ball. That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. I was thinking that yesterday. I'm thinking, what do they do? Just stop it and go, let it hit your hand.
Yeah,
it's accidental, but it's in the middle part, it's drop ball. I think the situation with the hand being in a natural position, the whole sort of perspective of it, I think, is when you're in the box, you know, and it's like for a penalty kind of thing, you're saying that's where generally handballs are contentious, isn't it? When it's in the box and they get awarded the penalty and you say, well, is he deliberately handballed it? Is his hand in a natural position? Because this was in the middle of the park, it does make it a little bit more, well, not middle of the park, but, you know, the attacking third, it makes it a little bit more weird because it's not a penalty call, but it has led to a goal.
Well, that's the thing. It still led to an advantage.
It still led to a goal. They've gained an advantage through handball that has literally led to a goal 5 seconds later. And as I say, if Joe Linton had intercepted out of his hand and ran on with the ball and scored, they would have disallowed it. 100%. Because he handballed it and he scored, which I think is bullshit again, because he handballed it and he passed it and they scored. And I think Tottenham are unlucky there with that, to be honest.
Well, I think at least we can all agree on that.
I was frustrated, but I can only go by, they said they've looked at it, so it's a natural position, and obviously I'm hard done by. I'm sitting there like, well, they've scored from it, and it's frustrating. But obviously they changed the rule a while ago with the handballs and natural positions and stuff like that now, so I was just like, at the time, look, it's just typically, but go by that. But it's not just that. Like, Bergvall should have done a different pass instead of that pass anyway. Like, for me, I'm more of the build-up has to have why that happened. Most of the time, some of the decisions that we make in terms of our passing is very frustrating. But for the young squad that we had, I think average squad age was like 24 or 23 or something like that on the pitch, just because of obviously the injuries. Like, Son was on the bench as well. Madison was on the bench because they did the bug. You know, they weren't well. Your doggy's injured. Obviously, you know about our centre backs and stuff. Jed Spence went centre back in the end and half time because Radu had to come off because he was unwell. It was just one of those games that the guys put their effort in, and I can't moan at them for it. And we lost 2-1.
Yeah, I think in recent weeks this is probably the best you played, right? from what I've seen of yous anyway. And I think Bergvall had a really good game, didn't he?
Oh, it was quality, and the fans were booing when he come off, and rightly so, because he looked like he was, you know, he was bossing it in the midfield, looking really good. And then I get it, you want to score some goals, so you bring on someone like Maddison, who is a playmaker, you know, like Arsenal did with their Odegaard on the bench. Like, you got your best playmaker on the bench that 60 minutes in, you want to, you know, you're losing or whatnot, or you want to go for it, you got to bring him on. So I get it. And the guy's only like 17, I think he is, 18, something like that. He's only young.
18, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, look, he done what he had to do in the game. And I can see what Ange's frustration with the handball. But sometimes you've got to look at our play. You know, I might moan at Arsenal for the sitting back and not playing and holding the ball too long or whatever, you know, doing this shitty time-wasting bullshit. But Tottenham, on the other hand, they do this ticky-tacky shitty passing in midfield and at the back and in the midfield, and then we lose it. And then they go on the attack and score on a counter-attack. We're not playing smart football sometimes. We're just playing this stupid passing football where teams are like, yeah, go on, Tottenham, you go do it. Spend 10 minutes in the middle of the park fucking about with it. We just nab it off you and get you on a break because Romero's too far up the field. Whoever at Jed Spence would have been too far up the field at one point. So, yeah, they go, they get us on a counter. But in that game, because of obviously what we had on the pitch, we weren't really doing what we would normally do.
Newcastle are playing well.
They are. Yeah, they're always a bit of a bogey team.
Look, do you think they should have had a man sent off?
Us or them, sorry.
Them. Do you think Dan Burn should have been sent off?
Oh, what, for the amount of fouls that he made?
Well, two in particular. He got booked for one, didn't he, where he literally just shoulder barged the bloke who was running through.
Yeah.
Took the yellow card. You said it was a yellow card all day and he knew it. And then the one where he basically handballed it.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, yeah. I was shocked by it, by the referee, because he made another foul before then as well.
Yeah.
I was quite shocked that the referee didn't give another one, because anywhere else on the pitch, it is a booking, like a book offence. But I can hear what we said before. Some referees make that decision as to like, oh, it's going to ruin the game or whatnot, or yeah, give them an extra warning. It's a referee's discretion, isn't it?
It's a stupid, stupid player that is doing stupid things because he's made a poor foul. Maybe you say he's taken one for the team and it's early in the game. So he's then got to be wise to not do stupid things. Now, to me, if you're 6'7", and you put your arms out to make a wingspan of a fucking eagle to stop a bloke putting a ball through and it hits you on the arm, that's handball. That's deliberate handball. He literally went in with his arms out.
That's the one that I thought it didn't actually hit his arm. I thought it was more his shoulder.
No, it didn't hit his arm. I think he put his arm... what did he do? Well, I know what you mean, because he hit the top of his
well, it's the sleeve, so it wasn't handball. Is that what they were saying?
I think it's because he put his arm backwards, and you know, one of those ones where the ball hits your arm, but you're sort of moving your arm backwards in a natural position, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but he ran to him with his arm wide out. Like, he put him out to spread like he was Peter Schmeichel. He ran at him.
Yeah,
and you think, well, that's stupid. That's one of the stupidest things to do.
But he didn't go to VAR or anything. Oh, he wouldn't went to VAR anyway, but the referee made the decision.
When you think of like the goal that you've had against you, when they're saying about handball being in natural position, yeah, that must be well frustrating for a geezer running at your player, like a goalkeeper, and hits him in the arm.
At this point, there's no point in me even moaning about it. I've literally gone to the point of, look, it's a shit season. It's a shit season. Decisions have not been going anyone's way, really, other than, well, I guess Liverpool have been getting some good decisions, but for Tottenham, not so much. And injuries, and I mean, I'm blaming injuries and illness this week, which normally I'm like, you know, injuries happen, but we've got illnesses as well. You can see by the players that we're playing. It's not like we've turned up and been like, well, injuries, and then all of a sudden we've still got a strong team. You know, it's not.
You're still in the cup like us, you know.
We are.
And you've got two legs against Liverpool, you know. So the players weren't sick, he'd probably still be rotating because you're not going to do anything in the league, really. You might be able to get into Europe if you pick some form up in the second half, but you're in with a good chance of a trophy being in the semi-final. And you think, well, you may have rested players anyway if they weren't, because you've got that schedule. And I just think all the teams, they're just tired. And from the World Cup or the Euros in the summer, after players came back late, everyone's had injuries. Now there's like a sickness bug going around the fucking country, and like, after teams are falling apart because their players are ill, and they've got to play a game every 3 days for the next, you know, month at least. Look, I think everyone's tired, and I don't think many teams are starting to show where they're not playing to their true potential.
Luke, was Dragosin one of the people that came off injured at half time because of the illness?
Yeah, he was already ill before the game. He had he made decision to play. He was like, "Look, I'll start," and then he came off at half time because he was really sick at half time. That's why I think he came in centre back.
Jed Spence, wasn't it?
Jed Spence coming centre. Which, to be fair to the lad, he actually did all right.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like at that point, I thought, "Fucking hell, you're going to lose like 4 or 5-1 here or whatever." But he actually done the job, didn't he?
Yeah, he's got good height and he's really quick as well, so it helped. And he's a defender, so he knows how to defend. I think the only thing was that he did try to take on players at centre back, and he did get caught out a couple of times. But referee gave a free kick, so that was on another day. Referee might have let it play on. So yeah, he needs to just. But he doesn't normally play there, so give him the benefit of the doubt because he's not used to that position.
What do you think about Ange afterwards and his reaction? With all the guy, the punter, the guys interviewing him after the game, he was pretty. You can see he was fucked off.
I've not listened to it. I've not. I'm aware of it. I've just not.
He's got like full mad. I think he's acting like a rude, isn't he? He's rude. He's so rude to them.
They've got to ask the questions.
Yeah, he just has this thing where he's like, "What? You don't know the answer?" And you're like. Well, no, we're asking you. And he talks in riddles.
It's unnecessarily arrogant.
Yeah, it is. And it stinks of like he's a bad loser. I don't think he does himself any favours because I think he could have come out of it and gone, yeah, there are two iffy decisions against us and everyone would have gone, yeah, probably. But because he acted like a little kid, everyone's sort of laughing at him.
I'll have to watch it. But I am aware that obviously he's... was fuming about it, which I get it. But again, I said I don't know the rules in terms of that because they keep changing every fucking week. But if they're saying, if they looked at VAR, said that it's hit the players out of natural position, then they've gone and scored. Yes, it's annoying. It's happened. But then again, in the Champions League a few years back with Man City, they had a handball, might have been Sterling or Aguero, like minor, very minor, but then they went on and scored from it and they pulled it back and then we won that game. Which got us through, I think it was the same year we got through to the Champions League final when we had Ajax next and then Liverpool in the final. So it swings around about in football sometimes, but it's very frustrating, obviously, to lose when it's a decision like that. But as I said, I still think the Kulusevski one, it's a tough one. I need to watch it again, but I think from my initial thought when I saw it was a penalty because the players cut back and Kulusevski sort of like held his body up in a way and his sort of shoulder.
Yeah, I just don't think he can do anything different. He's trying to stop and change his momentum.
I think it might have just been a bit thingy from Kulusevski, a bit smart from him. If you know what I mean.
He done one the other week against Chelsea, didn't he? Kulusevski.
Yeah, the elbow.
I think he's got a little bit of menace in him.
Yeah, I think that's what I thought he was doing when I saw it. I felt like if you watch it slowly, it looks like he sort of did do something, and it's slimy, I think. And we were lucky to not get a penalty against
the thing is with that, you can't prove it. You know what I mean?
No,
it's one of
no.
Them where you're sort of speculating, not you, but you know the people in general are speculating, saying, "Well, I know what he was trying to do," and it literally might be. He's just trying to change the direction of his body because the geezer's cut inside.
If there's intent, it's a penalty. If not, it's just a coming together.
Yeah.
But you can't prove intent.
But you can't prove it. And I think, again, like you said before, Luke, if the ref had given it, maybe VAR wouldn't have overturned it. But he didn't give it, so they didn't overturn it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm possibly sly, but possibly just an accidental coming together. So I wouldn't want to see penalties given for that against any team, really. But again, you wouldn't be surprised if it was. You've seen them given for less. You know what I mean?
Not today, though. Or yesterday, should I say. But you know what I mean. Other than that, mate, Tottenham, we'll see what happens. We've got Liverpool next at home. Then Tamworth.
Then Arsenal.
And then Arsenal. I'm not worried about Arsenal.
It's Lee Arsenal, Tom. Come on.
Sorry,
Bob. Fucking hell, Bob. Don't you go. You yourself a West Ham fan.
He's not. He's
Ipswich. I don't know. Yeah, I'm an Ipswich fan. I don't know what you're talking about.
This is London and East Anglia is.
Suffolk, mate. Come on.
Oh, come on.
All right. Thanks, Luke. Any other comments on Spurs, Tom, Mitch? Nearly said David.
Dave. Then. one win in eight now. It's glorious, isn't it?
Wait, the thing is with that though, I feel like if Ange hadn't reacted like that after the game, I would have felt a little bit sorry for him, because I think in the second half they actually deserved to win that game or at least get a point out of it. But
could you imagine how embarrassing it would be to have West Ham above you?
I mean, you keep dropping points, Mitch. They might go above you.
I don't think they're good enough to catch us. I said it.
They'll forever be behind on goal difference, I think, West Ham.
I really thought you was going to say blowing bubbles then. But... anyway, good segue into the West Ham game. That was disappointing. I mean, especially after being beat by City 5-0. After being beat by Liverpool 5-0 and then obviously conceding 4 again at home. Not very good. Pissed me off, to be honest with you. It seemed like a very similar situation to the previous week, where we concede one goal and then we just almost, it feels like we just give up. It's like we're not good enough to win this game, is what it kind of feels like. But there were a few good opportunities that we had before they scored, and even when they had scored, and obviously we got a goal when they had scored. But there were a few good opportunities, and you think on another day that could be a 4-4, or if we had someone better up front, then it could be. But Kudus, I feel like Kudus got into a couple of good positions. He probably could have squared it a couple of times.
We said this before, didn't we, Bob, on the previous ones?
Yeah,
where players just don't square it, they're just greedy. If he squared that, that's a tap in.
Yeah,
one he did square, and Souček missed it, didn't he?
Yeah. So I mean, the thing is, even if he squares it, have we got any? And that was the concern that I had going into these games anyway. Who is actually going to score our goals? Turns out Fulkrug done quite a nice little finish, to be honest, for our goal. But the four City goals were like, they were just, I mean, the first one, it was a deflection from Soufal, which made it go in, basically. So that one was a little bit fluky. I didn't. Yeah. But what I will say in the build up to that, the ball kind of comes out and Emerson kind of ducks out of the way of it. I don't know what the fuck he's doing. It's like, just fucking put your head through it. What are you doing, you dickhead? But yeah, that obviously happens. And then it goes through to Savinho, I think it was, wasn't it? That scored that one. And then he obviously scores from the deflection. But the next goal, Savinho basically rips Soufal to shreds.
Destroys him, didn't he?
Yeah. But the whole game, like, it was literally, it just, Soufal could not handle him at all, which is kind of making me think he's maybe a little bit off hit now. Because I remember back in the day when he first came to West Ham, he was the least problem area for me. He was keeping up with a lot of players. I remember he was playing against like players like Grealish and them kind of players, and he was just like, had their number all day long. But yeah, he just got absolutely ripped to shreds. At half time, we done the whole switch Mavropanos for Danilo again. Yeah. Or actually, I think it was like 55 minutes or something.
Yeah. I did hear that he was for injury apparently this time.
Yeah, I'm not overly convinced with that. I just feel like is that been the same the previous 9 games?
I can't believe it.
Probably like a contract thing. Wasn't there a player that was played for someone or something and he had to come off? As long as he don't play longer than 50 minutes or something like that, they don't have to pay a fee.
Yeah. Carlos has got any contract and has to be for shit.
But Tadebo, actually, I think in his loan contract is if he plays 9 games or more, we have an obligation to buy. So maybe that is part of it. But I feel like he's probably played... I mean, how many halves do you need to play? I don't know. He's probably,
unless it's only counted anyway, after like a certain amount, like after 60 minutes, you know, like you do with, was it football, the football thing that you guys do, where after 60 minutes he gets a point. Maybe they're saying like that if he plays an hour
Lopetegui's got them both in his dream team.
the dream team, yeah.
But the fourth goal is the one that really, really fucked me off, because it was kind of a loose ball from Kudus. As Emerson, who couldn't get to the ball at that point. But in that goal, right, so there's two, I think there's two West Ham defenders in the box. I think Kilman and I think Mavropanos was still on at that time. So it was him. And there were like four City players in there, but everyone else was just strolling back. And yes, maybe you can't save it from being a goal, but what if it rebounds? Like, you need to be in there, like sprinting towards it to try and defend that. No,
it's a terrible ball to give away as well, though.
All of your goals, Bob, because I don't actually think Man City played that well. I was the first goal, like you said, Alvarez absolutely bottled that header.
Yeah,
on the edge of the box, and that led to them getting the guy. Is it Savio or is it Savino?
Savinia.
He got the ball, and that was a deflected cross. That was unlucky for Soufal. And I think the commentator said Man City are winning 1-0 and haven't had a shot on target.
Yeah.
And that was the case. And say you'd been in the game, you'd had good chance, fairly decent chances, and you was in the game. And, you know, you've got Guise as your centre midfielder. He's supposed to be like your big, tough, battling midfielder, and he's bottling a header like that. And I thought that it was just, I would fucking have him out of the team for that, honestly. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, I don't know what on earth he was doing. It wound me up. But
even the second and third goals, I looked online and a lot of people have been bigging up Kilman. They're all having a go at Mavropanos. Kilman was completely unaware of where Haaland was for both of them goals. He weren't goal side at any point, you know, as a semi-professional football player. as someone who plays centre half, you know, it's just a very, very basic thing to make sure you can see your man and the play and the ball. And that second goal, the header, like Wan-Bissaka strolling back, he don't obviously give Kilman a call. And it's one of them, like, he sneaks in behind, and when he gets the header, Kilman just looks around and starts saying, where did he come from? It's the same with the Udogie one the last week against Forest the other week.
Yeah.
Why are these top class professionals paid millions of pounds a year fucking unaware of how to mark someone and be goal side? He's the most dangerous striker in the world, and you can't see him.
Yep.
And it ain't because he's doing anything clever, it's because you're a fucking idiot. He's done it on both goals. And the first one was ridiculous. The second one, you'd think, well, have you learned your lesson? And I felt a bit sorry for Mavropanos on that one, because he got stuck in centre half and after the other guy went off. And it was the same when you played Chelsea early in the season. He's being pulled out from the centre back position because your midfield ain't there. And you had a geezer running through the whole of the pitch, no one near him. That Alvarez, again, he was lucky, was running through treacle trying to get back. honestly, it was ridiculous. And you're thinking, well, so Mavropanos is like, what, do I go to him? Do I not? And he kind of half goes. But when he does go, he leaves the space that Haaland cleverly runs into. But again, he just comes around the back of Kilman. He don't even know he's there. And it's a great finish by Haaland. And I watched them goals and I'm thinking, you've done yourselves here, because Man City are not playing well at the minute, and they're there for the taking.
Well, even the ball through to Haaland could have been stopped, because there are three West Ham players surrounding that player, that they were getting towards the player in midfield, and none of them.
They were too late, though.
Went in. Yeah, but they weren't even making an effort.
That's what I mean.
Even that they weren't too late. They were sprinting. They should have been sprinting towards him, not fucking standing off.
They weren't. That Alvarez, he looked like a 50-year-old playing in midfield. I just thought he looks like he's too scared to get her and don't want to run. And
sounds like
No,
he's not far off.
Back. But and the fourth goal, that's what I was going to ask you actually, Bob. You sort of said, and I say every week, you know, I know a lot of West Ham fans, they don't like Lopetegui's style of play. They can't even say that they've got a style of play. They're not sure if they're defensive or if they're counter-attacking or what. All of a sudden, when you're 3-0 down away to the champions, you start deciding you want to play out from the back.
Yeah.
You're like, well, what the fuck's that all about? Have they been trying to do that at any point in the season?
Yeah, they have. In fairness, they have. Okay. But I wouldn't say that's our style of play. Like, I still don't think we've truly got the identity. I think but that's the frustrating thing. I think even defensively, we've looked a little bit more structured in the games prior to the Liverpool game. Like there was a couple of games where, well, we didn't concede against Southampton. I can't remember the other game, but we looked a little bit more defensively structured. So to go from that to this is just, it's so frustrating to watch because it looked like no one gave a shit again. And I said exactly the same thing when it was Chelsea earlier on in the season. Like no one gave a shit. And it's like, so that's, I've said that in the games, Chelsea, Liverpool and City. It's like we go 1-0 down and that's it. Like we think, well, that's it now. Like we've just lost all fight. But I mean, that's just not good enough, is it?
We was talking yesterday, weren't we, Bob? We said to Jay, who obviously got a season to get West Ham, and he said he's got a go to manager. You're still of the opinion not.
Yeah.
I've sort of been with you, but thinking, you know, what's the point? But watching that yesterday, if I was a West Ham fan, I think that would have probably tipped it towards getting rid of him because the players are either not responding to what he wants or because they don't know how to, or they just don't want to play for him. He doesn't seem to know. Well, you could say, yeah, you got injuries, lost Antonio, you lost Bowen. You know, but it's every week he can't decide who his centre back is, and the midfield changes every week. One minute it's Soler, then it's Alvarez, then it's Souček, and it's anything. You're relying on Souček, who's probably the sort of most workhorse player you've got, who puts the most shifts in, and he's getting a lot of the blame half the time, I think.
Yeah.
But when it's that Alvarez performance yesterday was just, I thought, was terrible performance, disgraceful.
Yeah, I'm still not changing my opinion at the moment. Like I get it, and I get why people would want him out, but I'm just of the opinion that I just think it could mess the structure up even more if we got a new. I mean, look what's happening to Southampton. Yeah, they look good for a couple of games while they had the new manager bounce.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're losing 5-0 against Brentford.
Well, they looked good when they played against West Ham.
Well, yeah, but they still lost, didn't they?
So, yeah, they still lost, but...
Yeah, but they're not getting results. And even similar to Leicester, yes, they go... They beat West Ham. Fuck you before you say it. But that was their first game with the new manager bounce. And since then, he hasn't been getting the results. So I'm not sure how much that is going to fix things at the moment. Yes, maybe in the summer, like I said earlier in the group chat, like once we start, you know, thinking about away days at the Den, then maybe we should be thinking about a new manager. But like, I don't think at the moment it's a really good idea. But and I think the players need to take some fucking ownership as well, because I also think that's on the manager. Like if you've got players putting in performances like that, and that, like even fucking Kudus, yeah, he's probably our best player, but I fucking hated it that he played that loose ball and then his head dropped and he just started strolling off. Get your fucking move on, start sprinting somewhere. What the fuck are you doing? Oh,
fuck, get your fucking move on.
Like, just honestly, like, how much are they paid a week? And they just like start crying because they do one loose ball.
That's half the problem, though, isn't it? They're not fighting for their lives. You know, when they're not happy, they can't be bothered. They don't care, do they? They still get paid $200,000 a week.
Yeah, but and I get that. Yes, the manager should take some ownership for that because he should be wanting to get them to fight for their lives. And if they're not doing that, then fucking take him off. I don't give a shit if he is our best player. Luke said it before. If he's being a fucking dickhead, then take him off.
Yeah.
Well, when you actually started winning a few games, weren't it when he was out of the team?
Well, yeah. I mean, is it an attitude problem? Hopefully he does go to Arsenal.
You went, what was you, 4 or 5 unbeaten, weren't you? And you, I think that was when he was on his 6-game ban or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
But yeah. Yeah, frustrating again, but hopefully. I mean, it don't get any easier. We've got Villa away next, so who the fuck knows? We don't have
it. It's the cup, isn't it? Villa.
Oh, yeah, it's the cup, yeah.
Fulham.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, I'm still caring about the cup, really. I mean, it's only.
Oh, yeah. I think you can get a Villa. They Leicester gave them a good game yesterday.
Yeah.
And they've got, say, they're going to be back in the Champions League in a couple of weeks. They still want to fight in the league. They've got something to play for. if they get their act together. I don't, and they've got a few injuries now as well.
Yeah.
So if, it depends what West Ham turn up, because you can be dangerous.
Yeah.
But if they slack off in situations like they did against Man City, it's weird because you think you go to Man City and you lose 4-1, you're like, right, we've lost 4-1 away to the champions, who'd have been the best team in the fucking Europe for the last 5 years, basically. You're like, well, there's no disgrace in that. But when you sit there and you watch it, you think we could have actually got so much more out of that game if they'd just put the shift in.
The thing that winds me up most, really, is the fact that we lost 5-0 to Liverpool. Yes, right, Liverpool are arguably the best team in Europe at the moment. But to then go away to City and concede 4 the very next week, like, you at least want to go out with some pride, don't you? So just change it up a little bit. Don't.
Well, this has been one of the things that the fellas I work with have been saying why they think he should go, the manager. I said, because when they lose, they kind of capitulate. And when you look at you're only a point behind Tottenham, but there's a 27-goal swing.
Yeah, but no, I don't think the only two
teams that have got a worse goal difference are the two bottom teams. It's like when you lose, you get smashed.
Well, that's the thing. It's not just when they lose, it's when they go 1-0 down. It's like, I don't know why that's the case. Because even against Southampton, like, we won that game 1-0. Once that first goal went in for West Ham, we completely controlled the game. So why can't we have that mentality the whole way through a game? I don't get it. But yeah, right, we better start moving on because we're at an hour and we've still got Chelsea to talk about yet.
It won't take long.
Any other questions or anything about West Ham?
Are you shit?
Not if you want to move on, because I did have one, but you'll probably go into too much detail, so don't worry about it.
Oh, go on then, Tom. Let's do it, because it's your last podcast. Why not? Let's do a feature in fun.
It was more of a wind-up question, really. You know, like when you get the West Ham fans and they say, oh, we want to play the West Ham way, blah, blah, blah. You know, we don't care if we lose as long as we play well and we get entertained. We go every week, we pay our money, we want to see a good game of football, which is kind of what Tottenham are getting at the minute. You know, they're going every week, they're getting entertained, but they're not getting much out of it. They're only a point ahead of you. Do you think West Ham fans in general would be happy if they were in Tottenham's situation? Which is basically, you're playing apparently nice football, but you're still shit.
No. And I said this last week. Like, like what West Ham fans want is unrealistic. It's not what I want. All I want is to be in a half-decent place in the league. I don't give a shit what kind of football we played. And that's why I like David Moyes. And that's why a lot of fans hated David Moyes. And now all of a sudden, they're all on Twitter asking for Moyes back.
Mm.
Go support another fucking club, you bunch
of... We did say care for what you wish for, but they went, you don't have to watch it every week.
Yeah. But no, I honestly don't care. Like, if we're not playing that well and we're getting scraping through results, like, it felt brilliant to, you know, when we beat Spurs, that when Lanzini got that last minute.
Yeah,
like games like that. Like, we didn't play exciting football in those games, but we still got the results. So who gives a shit?
I agree.
But yeah,
but I know loads that don't, and that's why I just mentioned it. So
yeah. There is loads that don't, and like I say, I have to ban myself from watching YouTube videos and going on Twitter too much because it winds me up too much. I might start trolling and get our Londoners account banned.
We're banned in America now, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sorry.
We just lost our £1 billion investment into this podcast.
Parting gift for you.
Let's move on to Chelsea then. So, another week, another 2 points dropped.
Hello, mate.
Hello, mate. What happened? Yeah.
Dave. We'll keep it short and sweet. It's just a continuation of the. Do you know what? Can I just say something as well?
Yep.
I'm going to get through this segment without saying that word.
I guarantee it, you are.
We'll see. Because now I really want to say it. but yeah, the poor Christmas form continues. Which I guess is consistent for us. but there are two.
You, yeah, all right, mate. You enjoy that beer.
Fuck Chelsea.
I agree. Fuck Chelsea. Yeah, there's two main problems that I see at the moment with Chelsea. I'll get to that. One is obvious, the poor defending, which was on display again today. And the other is the shots. They're not taking the chances, not putting the ball away. So, again, this is a classic us this season. We have a very good first half. And Palmer's goal, Sancho, fantastic. He's absolutely sold the defender on his little turn. And then he takes two defenders on, gets the ball to Palmer, and Palmer slots it away. Lovely. 14 minutes in, you're 1-0 up. That's the only shot on target we had the whole game.
Wow.
14 minutes in. That's not good enough. And it's not like we didn't have chances. This is where I'm going to moan about Jackson. Jackson had plenty of chances. There was a beautiful ball to him from Palmer. My God, that boy. Oh, he was our best player. That ball was
lovely, yeah. The one we put him through.
Oh, pinpoint. Lovely. He's not even hit the target.
Is that running down the outside of the boot?
Outside of the boot. Why are you doing that? Why are you trying that sort of shot?
Should be left foot shot.
But this is him. This is Jackson in a nutshell. He's going back to his form from last season. He's got none in four now. And I think it was the same situation last week. I think we only had one shot on target. And again, it was Palmer. Palmer's scored both our goals in the last 2 weeks. He's the only one making a difference. And that's probably why he's tried rotating and bringing Nkunku in. He's not fucking doing anything. Jackson, a few missed chances. And then second half, we weren't really there. The defending was so poor. It could have been a different story if we'd gotten that penalty for Neto. I'd like to see it again now, but I don't have a clip of it. I thought it was a penalty in real time.
When I saw the replay, they said that they both got the ball, but I didn't see it. I don't think that he got the ball. I think Neto got it.
I just, you know,
a conclusive enough replay that showed him getting the ball. I think it was a penalty.
I think it was a penalty. Like those Spurs a couple of weeks ago. Those two ridiculous tackles. Well, that last one that was near the outside of the box. It doesn't matter where he is. He's still in the box. He still brought the player down. That's a penalty. I don't really understand it. I don't think he's touched it. And that would be a different game. If we put it away. I mean, Palmer hasn't missed a penalty yet. 2-0 up, and there's what, 10-20 minutes left. That's 3 points, and maybe the end of the rut. But it doesn't happen. And then Palace get their goal. Sanchez, again, his distribution's not great, is it? He passes the ball out. I think this was the last. When did they get
the
goal?
You're not going to blame Palmer for losing it.
No, I'll get there. Right, so yeah, 82nd minute, right? You're 1-0 up. You're starting to struggle a little bit. Boot it out the field. Boot it up the fucking field. I don't even want to see it, right? So he does pass it out to Palmer. You're right, Palmer loses the ball. But see that pass. He's passed it straight to him when he's got two Palace players either side of him. Yeah. Straight away, he's put in trouble. Just don't put someone in that position in the game.
Palmer didn't have anywhere to go either.
Exactly. He's got nowhere to go.
Literally back to the goalkeeper. But yeah. The thing was, He put it to Palmer. It weren't like it was on the edge of the box either. He actually put it to Palmer, who was near enough on the halfway line. So it was quite an incisive ball to him from the keeper, but he put it to him when he had, like you say, two players charging down, and then another two players in between him and the goal. Yeah. And there was nowhere that Palmer could go.
And then, and the minute Palmer does lose it, the defence has got no shape. There's no back four.
Yeah.
They're like in a little zigzag thing going on. And it took two passes to break that defence down. Two passes. And the second pass is the worst pass because it's just a simple one across the box. Where the fuck are you, Cucurella? He must think Palmer's still got the ball and we're going for it.
Yeah.
He's not fucking coming back. Get in front of your man.
I mean, he's running back. I'm just watching now. I'm just seeing it now. So the keeper's passed the ball out to
Palmer.
But Palmer hasn't seen the player behind him. So if you watch it again, so the player's gone to Palmer. Palmer's looked.
Yeah, but Sanchez knows that.
Cucurella knows. Yeah, but no, because if you look at the other player, he's still quite a bit of a distance, but then he comes up behind him because Palmer's turning left into the player and then loses it. and then he gets it. But yeah, the awareness from Palmer and the goalkeeper and Cucurella not shouting as well, and then Cucurella not getting back in position.
It's just them two enough. Passes after. Like you say, like Palmer loses the ball, but he is near the halfway line. Get your defence in shape. You've got plenty of time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To see the attack coming, and all it's taken is two passes to get through that defence.
Yeah.
It's just non-existent. And it's the same of the last 4 weeks. And again, the other problem is the not taking the chances. Palmer's the only one that's scoring right now. And there's no the one shot on target in the last 2 weeks. It's just not good enough. I don't know if, you know, now we're coming out of the winter break. We've got a week off now because we're not in the cup. Hopefully you sort something out. And then we come back and we start. Are we?
Yeah.
I thought we were out.
Fucking
well,
Mitchell.
Yeah, it's someone ridiculous you've got.
Someone easy.
And we'll put out the C team for that.
Morecambe you've got ladies. On Saturday.
Oh, it's a tough one, that is, it?
Yeah.
Morecambe away, is it?
You're not alone, Mitch, because we was out last night and we was with one of our other Chelsea friends and he was literally just caning Sanchez, saying he's just his distribution's terrible.
Yeah. But the thing is, he's not... He's been better in recent weeks, not distribution wise, but he's a good shot stopper. He's kept us in games, but yeah, his distribution, as much as he has kept us in games, he's cost us points as well. So it's swings and roundabouts. So yeah, but I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do this month. I don't think he's happy with either of our keepers. Is he going to look for another striker as well? Who's available? And like you say, like Arsenal with Mbeumo. Oh, he's not really a striker, but everything is going to cost a lot of money. And we're not going to want to spend it now. Well, I mean, are we? I don't know. Who knows? Chelsea, we'll have to throw in that money out. Yeah, financial fair play. But something, yeah, I don't know.
Do you reckon he made the subs too late in the game to change things over? I know you scored in the 82nd minute. They scored in the 82nd minute. But do you reckon with the way that the game was going, do you reckon he should have brought like Madueke on? Maybe Joao Felix? For Jackson sooner because Jackson was missing chances after chances.
It wasn't Joao Felix, it was Mark Guehi.
No, I mean Duran, he should have brought on. Sorry, I meant to say Joao Felix is in.
Oh, bring on Felix. Oh, I don't know because again, it's just straight swaps, isn't it?
He ain't done anything either, has he, since you got him?
No, I don't. It was two straight swaps. I don't know what you would change. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it would have made a difference if he'd done it any earlier. Unless
you've lost the momentum in that game by that point, then.
Yeah, yeah.
You should have had it dead and buried, but Palace got a sort of second wind. But
this is what's happened in the last few weeks. We have a good first half, and then we have a poor or nervy second half.
Yeah.
And we just, I don't know, we get in our own heads of it a little bit. But the shots on target stats is just ridiculous. Got to start hitting the target at least. Put pressure on a keeper. One shot on target out of 15 shots is not good enough. They had 13 shots and six on target.
Yeah, they had some chances. Like Eze scored.
Yeah.
That's shot in the middle of the 6 yard box.
Yeah.
Or 8 yard box.
But our striker's not scoring. And we look nervous at the back, and it's like we know it in the last 10 minutes of games. We know we've had a bad few weeks. They could probably score here, and it often happens, maybe from mistakes. Again, no defensive line. So, I don't know. Something needs to change, or they just need to get out of their own heads, get this Christmas period out of the way, and maybe we'll find a bit of form again.
So, in summary, you're turning against Gianfranco Jackson again and just fully up Palmer's arse.
Didier Jackson. Jackson Good Johnson. Yeah, no, I was never sold. I was just happy he'd hit a bit of form, but a part of me knew it weren't going to last.
Yeah, all right, mate.
Yeah, all right.
Listen to these podcasts. Podcasts.
Did you just say the word?
What?
I'm not saying it.
Cool.
I would just say to add to all of this Chelsea stuff, I'll just say fuck Chelsea and your shit no kits with no sponsor on it.
Hey, that's better.
No
crap. Sponsors are ugly.
Fuck Chelsea.
Fuck Chelsea.
Fuck Chelsea.
Right, another week, another not enough time for whateverery, so we're just going to move on to the Man versus AI. Man versus AI. Oh, no, this ain't time for the jazz beats yet, is it? So, yeah, all right.
Jazz beats,
I'll I'll just shut up, shall I?
Right, so...
We'll
do the results.
Oh, yeah, do the thing.
No, that's gone, mate.
No, do the thing, please. Do the thing.
Beep, boop, boop, beep.
And now give us a nice listen.
Absolutely not. I'm going to survive this podcast without saying it.
Right, so we'll start off with the game from game week 19, which was Brentford Arsenal. So Tom and Clive predicted 2-1 2-1 Arsenal and got 1 point. And AI also predicted 2-1 Arsenal and got 1 point, I think. Yes, they did. Game week 20, we'll start off with Arsenal again. So Tom, I don't think I actually noted down Tom's predictions. Shit.
Oh dear.
You remember what you predicted?
Same as Clive. 3-1 for Brighton.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so did Clive. Yeah, mm-hmm. So did Clive. And you both got 0 points.
Okay.
AI also predicted 3-1 and also got 0 points. I fucked this right up this week. I don't know what I'm doing. Spurs versus Newcastle. I wasn't even going to laugh. AI predicted Tottenham 2, Newcastle 2, and got 0 points. Luke predicted Tottenham 1, Newcastle 1, and got 0 points.
Those are more realistic.
Well, Crystal Palace against Chelsea. AI predicted Crystal Palace 1, Chelsea 2 and got 0 points. I think Mitchell, you predicted the same, didn't you?
No, it's 1-1. I predicted.
No, it weren't. Mitchell, Mitchell also predicted Crystal Palace 1, Chelsea 2 and got 0 points. Man City against West Ham. I predicted Man City 3, West Ham 1 and got 1 point. No, I didn't. I predicted. Oh, what the fuck's sake. I predicted Man City 2, West Ham 0 and got 1 point. And AI predicted Man City 3, West Ham 1 and got 1 point. Fucking hell, that was difficult this
week. Well done, Bob. Well done.
Right. So at the end of that, so AI are sitting on 60 points, us humans. And that's because they picked up another point from the game week 19 game as well. And the humans are on 47 points. Oh, so we're still 13 points behind. But I think we've made up some ground.
Gaming.
Yeah. In terms of the leaderboard, Bob's now got a 2-point lead on top with 15. Mitchell and Clive are both sitting on 13 points. And Luke is still on 6. And Tom's on 1.
We don't realise is because Tom joined on this, he's got a point tally. So if he finishes last.
I've got two points.
Just saying.
No. I've got 2 points. I'm 4 points behind you and I've only done 3 games.
Sorry, mate.
So I reckon I could do another 3 between now and the end of the season when Clive's on one of his other oddities. And I will have you in last place.
Listen.
I'm to win
on. Oh, no!
Yes! Yes!
Oh, no!
We got it out of it.
I can't believe I just said it.
Brilliant.
What a fucking idiot. You know what? I was just like, I really wanted to say something like good with Tom. And I've just said the fucking word. I can't believe I just said the word.
Well, at least we've got the title of the podcast.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, that's why we let it go on for 1 hour and 17 minutes.
To listen or not to listen.
We were definitely going to get it out.
I was so close. I was just going to say, we should just still, like, even if Clive's back, we should take Tom's next 3 predictions just to see if he does take those over. But I fucking said listen. I've ruined it all.
Right.
Well, it's probably a good job that it is my last one because the next one's Arsenal Tottenham.
Yeah. We might get you on for that anyway, though, Tom, to be fair. That'd be fun. Right, so because we got the FA Cup this weekend, obviously the next fixtures are on the 14th and 15th. So we're going to predict them now, and then we'll do a late podcast for the week after, a midweek one. So we'll start off with West Ham Fulham, actually. And I'm predicting West Ham 1, Fulham 1. Yeah, Fulham draw. That's what they do. And I think we'll bounce back a little bit. I think I'm talking absolute nonsense, but whatever. So Arsenal versus Spurs. So first of all, Clive predicted Arsenal 3, Spurs 0.
Wow. Wow.
Wow, this guy. This is what Arsenal fans are about.
Tom?
Just know, Luke, right? If Arsenal beat Tottenham 3-0, your little chuckle is going to be like made into meme heaven.
Oh, probably. Honestly.
Oh, I forgot. I still need... Oh, don't worry about that. I'll talk to you after, Luke. Tom, what's your prediction for that?
I think 3-1 to the Arsenal.
Is that a smirk, Luke?
Oh, dear.
And Luke, I can't wait for this. God.
Yeah, they are.
What are you doing?
They're happy with a Brighton result of 1-1 and they're going to beat Spurs. I'm going to go 2-0 Spurs.
Oh my God.
I mean, if they're being delusional, I might as well be.
Fuck me. Oh, dear.
Can I just remind you, though, Luke, that you did lose 3-2 to Brighton?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So you're going 2-0 Spurs, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, well.
Oh, dear. Right. Mitchell, Chelsea versus Bournemouth.
Hello, mate. Do you know what? I genuinely believe it's going to be 1-1 or 0-0, but I'm going to predict 2-1 Chelsea.
Well, that makes loads of sense.
I just want it to happen.
Okay, manifesting it.
Yeah.
Right, that's it then for this week. Does anyone have any closing thoughts? Actually, I just want to say thank you very much, Tom. Thanks for your time and effort. It's been a pleasure having you here. If you don't come on from the North London Derby, I don't know North what Clive wants to do yet.
It's been my pleasure, lads. My pleasure.
I do have some closing thoughts.
Oh, for fuck's sake, we're an hour and 20 minutes. Go on.
I'd like to know AI's predictions.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, Bob.
I've fucked this right up.
That's five back.
Honestly.
Right,
I mean, I thought Clive was shit at reading the AI predictions anyway.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's a new level, mate.
Right.
At least we know.
Right, I've got them up. Giggity. Oh, my God. Right. So, Arsenal versus Tottenham. AI predicts Arsenal 2, Spurs 1. Arsenal's strong home form and attacking depth give them an advantage in this North London derby. Tottenham's recent defensive vulnerabilities may be exploited by Arsenal's dynamic offence.
I can see that 2-1.
I can see that. Chelsea versus Bournemouth. AI predicts Chelsea 2, Bournemouth 0. Chelsea's superior squad depth and home advantage suggest a comfortable victory over Bournemouth, who has struggled against top-tier teams.
What is he talking about?
AI's
lost the plot.
Yeah, I know.
It does this sometimes.
Honestly, I've said it all along, it's a fucking stupid robot. Yeah, it's still beating us by 13 points. Yeah. But
Bournemouth beat Arsenal, Man City and Tottenham. They can't beat the big
team. They're easy clubs, aren't they?
Oh, well.
Yeah. They beat them at home, though, didn't they?
Fair, yeah.
And West Ham vs Fulham. Oh, they have fucking lost the plot. West Ham 2, Fulham 1. West Ham's attacking capabilities and home support may prove decisive against a Fulham side that has shown defensive inconsistencies. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that one, but I hope it happens. Actually, I don't, because then they'll get 3 points. I hope it's 3-1 West Ham. but yeah, that's it then. Thanks for reminding me about that, Mitchell, because I was about to go. but yeah, any other closing thoughts? I don't need to do a closing message for you again, Tom, do I?
No, I just think that I was going to say, I think one of our two new followers was obviously Oliver Glasner. because he was wearing a very, very lovely roll neck, Bob.
Was he? Yeah, he was.
Been inspired by you, mate. And all I can say is I'll keep tapping up all my aunts and uncles to get a few more followers for us.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Carry on the good work, boys.
Thanks, mate.
What a pleasure.
What a lovely way to end it.
Yes.
Bye, everyone.
Fuck Bye. Arsenal.
Bye.
Where's the stop recording?